Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour for another edition today. My guests today are Alan Cheeves. Most, if not all, of our listeners will recognize Alan's name, particularly the last part of Alan's name, because it's so associated with American Surveyor magazine. Welcome, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Kurt.
And I have also Glenn Thoreau with me today, all the way from New Mexico. So welcome, Glenn.
Thank you, Kurt. Good morning.
As we were preparing to start the show, Alan and I were talking about the weather and how hot it had been, and then we realized perhaps we shouldn't be talking about hot weather because it's probably not nearly as hot as what you've been having, Glenn. So maybe we were just being selfish because we actually had a pretty nice summer here, so
yeah,
hasn't been bad at all. But I wanted to welcome you both to the show, and of course we advertise the show in our weekly newsletter the week before, so hopefully a lot of our audience will know what today's show is about. But we're going to be talking about CST and some pretty exciting things that are happening. And for those of who don't know what CST is, it's Certified Survey Technician Program, which has been operated by NSPS now for a really long time. And we're always looking for ways to improve it. And, of course, Alan and American Surveyor have had some interaction with CST and the board over time, and Glenn has been really involved in all things NSPS now for quite a few years. And so the two of you, in sort of kicking this thing off, I guess, met at a board meeting? Is that the way it worked?
Sure, I can start, and then perhaps Alan can fill in some of the other portions. I actually met Alan at a, it was not related to NSPS, it was at a function that both Alan and I attended, and during a lunchtime period, Alan happened to sit down at the table where I and some other surveyors were having some lunch and struck up a conversation. And from that, we found out that we had some common goals, one of which, for me, concerned CST, Certified Surveying Technician Training, and some of the things I had been doing at our local community college here, Central New Mexico Community College, where I had been an instructor since about 2006, part-time. And one of the courses that I taught at the community college was Certified Surveying Technician Training course. And the point of the course was to prepare my students to be able to take the CST exam, at least level one, although some were qualified to take level two and level three. It was kind of like teaching in a one-room schoolhouse where you had multiple levels of students, and you, the point was to meet the students where they were in their technical careers. And so at the end of the semester, I would administer the CST exam to these students. And from that, Alan had mentioned that he and American Surveyor Magazine had been in discussion with the NSPS CST board for about a year, I believe. And from that, we started talking about where we could go with our mutual interests. And this led to my involvement with Alan and American Surveyor Spatial Media, LLC, and trying to get this to go live, at least at level one, and start working on levels two and three. So that, from my perspective, is how this came about. Perhaps Alan would like to amplify on that.
Yeah, no, we don't need too much detail, and we can cover the history, and we've got some interesting facts here about the need for and the importance of surveying technicians that I think folks will want to hear. But indeed, it was quite opportune. We had been advertising the program in American Surveyor magazine for about a year, and had been talking to the board about an arrangement in which we felt we could help both promote the program and then perhaps help with e-learning modules to help just provide some sort of additional online training to folks taking the exam. I don't know, probably folks that already have the certification or know this or have gone, folks that have gone through it understand, but those that don't or are considering it, the exam is given quarterly, once a quarter, depending on the level, usually 1 through 3, an exam is offered, and folks can come in. We see that as basically a group that once a quarter comes in and can benefit from or log in and register, enroll, and benefit from the training that we're going to offer. But, yeah, indeed, you know, it was something that we had going already and met with Glenn and mentioned the project and the need to build out the coursework, and really couldn't have found someone better than Glenn. He's really put a lot of time into this and quite excited to discuss it with you guys. So, Glenn, do you want to go over the history, or Kurt, we've got a few facts that we could share about
the program. Sure. I was just going to add to this part of the discussion that Glenn has been very active in NSPS, having served as the NSPS governor for the New Mexico Society for 5 years, really appreciate everything you've done there, Glenn, and certainly really pleased that you're getting involved in this issue. I'm certain when you guys were talking to the CST board, you heard, as we've repeated often, we get inquiries here in the office all the time from people wanting to know about, do you provide any training? Do you provide any resources? Do you provide any materials that we can use to prepare ourselves? And so I think all of that feeds into how this came about as well, because I know the board was interested in what you were having to say for a lot of reasons, but certainly from that perspective, because we see that here at the office a lot.
Sure, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to add a note that they've been more than accommodating, you know, in looking at any possible route to take, or, you know, option that we could provide. Just, you know, it's an evolving arrangement and something that just constantly with we can get into it later, but with the various technologies affecting the profession, the new stuff coming online, just seems like every day it's something that we can support or actively felt that our involvement could assist.
And historically, you know, the being the New Mexico governor for 5 years, I was well aware of the CST program, and that's why I was able to incorporate that into our curriculum at the community college. And let me just give you a quick plug for Central New Mexico Community College. There are over 28,000 students in this community college, so it's the largest educational institution in the state. So I don't want to make it sound like it's just a small backwater kind of operation, because it's really cutting edge on a number of different industries, and we're trying to position surveying or geomatics at the top of their list and promote it as viable options for our students in the future, that particularly those students who need to gain the kind of foundational skills that will allow them to compete in the marketplace. And so I feel very strongly that the CST program can be a very viable component in this educational effort. And, of course, the CST program itself, I believe, has been around since about 1988. So the current number of registered CSTs nationwide is almost 1,700. I believe that was the number as of June 30th. And it continues to grow, because I think more and more companies are beginning to recognize the importance of having their personnel, their technicians trained, and they are making CST certification as a prerequisite for advancement or for hire. So that coupled with more and more professional service providers such as engineering companies, construction companies, and state departments of transportation are also recognizing the CST program as a viable indicator of the skill level or competency level of both their existing and potential employees. So because of this, I feel that the program is going to continue to gain strength, and the CST or e-learning component of this will dovetail nicely in that regard and allow more and more prospective candidates or existing technicians to demonstrate that level of competency and to add that to their resume, which makes them more marketable. So the trajectory is on the rise, and this, I believe, will be a important component in that continued success.
And one thing about that number, the 1,700, that's, as you mentioned, that's a snapshot in time. It really reflects the people who have kept their certification current. There are a lot of folks out there. I don't even know the number of people who have participated over the years, but that's you're right. That's the current number that have maintained their certification.
Right, and the other thing is this could encourage those who perhaps originally were certified in level one to contemplate continuing on to higher levels and not just stop at level one and feel satisfied at that point. So we're hoping to continually challenge our candidates, our CST personnel, to continue along this road to demonstrating their professional competency by considering taking levels two and three. Level four, for a number of different reasons, is not going to be offered, at least in the near future, because of the different philosophy behind level four, where levels one, two, and three are all multiple choice exams. Level four is more of an essay, philosophical type of problem that requires research and writing, and at that point it's probably not as conducive to an e-learning format as the other three levels.
Very true. One of the things I know my watch is correct, we've got maybe 15 seconds before our first break, but one of the things I wanted to say that we're really pleased about here at the office in this too is that it's going to be so much better for us not to just tell somebody, here's a list of suggested texts you might want to look at, but we can actually point to some real training. So right. Let's go ahead and take that first break, and we'll be back shortly.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back at today with our second segment with Glenn Thoreau and Alan Jeeves talking about the Certified Survey Technician Program. We've covered a little bit of history, and, you know, I was impressed, Glenn, when you said a community college with 28,000 students. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is a major factor here in our educational structure and also for our economy, that the community college is trying to equip our populace with the kind of skills that are being demanded by industry. And as we all know nationally, that this has been quite a concerted push on the part of the current administration in putting more emphasis on community college. Now, I don't want to subtract or take away from the importance of our four-year accredited surveying programs, but not everyone has to be a licensed professional surveyor to enjoy a well-paying career in the surveying industry. And the need for technicians, although it is cyclical in nature and tied to the economy, is, I believe, on the rise. One of the things that I look at is that we certainly don't want to train personnel for jobs that aren't there. So, you know, I was looking at the Department of Labor statistics recently about projected job growth within the surveying and mapping technician fields, and they are projecting a 14% increase from 2012 to 2022, which that translates in roughly about 7,500 additional jobs being added in this particular segment of our profession. So in that regard, I think that the opportunities will manifest themselves in job openings within this time period, within the next decade or so. Now, of course, as I mentioned, it is cyclical in nature, but up until about 2007, we were on about a 15-year run with increasing demand. And, of course, surveying industry is inextricably tied to construction and other parts of our economy, housing particularly for many surveyors. But I feel that we've turned the corner, and we want to be ready for what I believe will be an uptick in activity and demand for surveyors in the coming years.
I think that you're right about that, and one of the things we've seen too is that it isn't survey technicians who are the ones working for licensed professional surveyors in private practice. There are quite a few construction-type companies who have been pretty active in the program over time with their employees as well. So the point I'm making is there's demand there. Whether or not you're going to be working for a licensed professional, there's other places where this particular set of skills could be useful.
Yes.
One of the other things that you were talking about earlier, and I don't know if we got to this piece of it or not, but you were talking about the schools using it, and I know a lot of the various schools are using it. And in the notes we looked at before, we were talking about a national standard, and I think that's important to develop something like that, and this is a great opportunity, I think, to have that.
Yes. At the risk of dominating the conversation, and Alan, just jump in whenever you wish. One of the big pushes within academia right now is the establishment of learning objectives for any course, particularly for degree granting, 2-year associate degrees planning. You want to list a set of objectives that you want your students to gain as they participate in this particular program. So you want to be able to measure those objectives. To have unmeasurable objectives is really self-defeating. So one of the things you can do, and why we offer the CST exam in the fourth semester of a 2-year program, is you want to measure the exit competencies of the people that have participated in your program. And I feel that the CST exam is an excellent way to do that. And you can specify the level of competency based on whatever level the student has achieved. And then that student or that technician should be able to go anywhere within the country because of a set of national standards and say, for instance, to a prospective employer, I am CST certified level 3. And that employer should be able to know what that involves and the level of competency that that prospective employee has obtained. So I think that's really an important component of this.
You were talking about the need, looking at the Department of Labor statistics. I noticed some of the numbers you guys had shown in your outline on wages. Pretty decent wage.
Yes, I think so. Now, that's the medium wage was a little over $39,000. That's for everybody within the surveying and mapping industry. So if we were to take that large, broad rubric of geomatics, and that would include perhaps GIS personnel that are working as mapping technicians within that as well. And as you also should note, that somebody in the upper 10 percentile of those industry people are making about $65,000. So it's not a minimum wage position by any stretch of the imagination. And I think these are the kinds of jobs that we want to be creating and equipping our workforce to fill this. And if we can get the demand there by getting our economic factors in line, I believe that these positions will be filled in the future at these at this level of remuneration. So it's quite favorable.
I don't know, Alan, if you've heard this as you've gone about, and maybe Glenn would chime on this too, but one of the things that we hear sometimes here at the office or just among leadership in general, people will say, well, if the educational requirement for getting a surveyor's license is going to be a college degree, which, as we all know, isn't uniform across the country at this point, then what's the point of CST? And so then you have to go into a fairly elongated discussion about what the differences are. And I don't know if you guys have encountered that or not, but we hear that sometimes.
Absolutely. No, there's a variety of things that come up, you know, over the long run. And we've always just felt, you know, one thing I wanted to speak to or mention that we didn't consider enough or that doesn't seem to come up quite often or as often is the employer side of this. You know, we'd always thought of it from the employee angle. You know, to look at CST as something to gain as a professional, as something to take to an employer. And we encountered repeatedly, you know, Glenn mentioned the cyclical nature of things, you know, employers saying that, hey, I'm having a problem, I'm having trouble pegging my potential, you know, usually sifting through a variety of resumes, sifting someone's aptitude or someone's skill level. Because, you know, the higher end of things here, this is quite a skilled. You know, this really is a technical, when they say technician, they mean it. You know, and as again, I mentioned earlier, the technology evolving, as laser scanning, you know, machine control, GIS, Glenn mentioned the integration with the salary portion of things there. As the technologies meld and as things evolve, we see this just there being all the more need moving forward in say, between now and 2022. So much is going to change between now and then. So this will become all the more relevant, in our opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know a positive on the employer side is it adds to your credential base when you're seeking to do work for people. And then there are some pockets in the country where CST are required to work for certain companies. And I think that's probably going to grow some, too. I don't know if either of you had any experience with that, but we are seeing some of that.
Sure. I think more and more you're going to see contract specifications that have requirements for the level of training of personnel that will be involved in a contract. I think that anyone who's ever written a proposal or responded to a request for a proposal has dealt with the element of the qualifications of their personnel that will actually be working on the contract. So I think, again, this lends strength to a company in making them more competitive in the marketplace. And another component of that would be that your quality assurance program, if you are trying to secure errors and omission insurance, if you can demonstrate to the insurance underwriter that you have procedures in place, including qualified personnel, that you're probably going to be, have an easier time of securing the necessary insurance for your operation if you can demonstrate quality personnel or trained personnel.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, that may not be immediately obvious, but it makes perfect sense because part of that whole process is based on your competency level. So that certainly does make sense. We're probably a minute and a half from our next break, so but if you want to go ahead, unless there's something else you want to cover under this particular portion, when we come into the next segment, and we can begin this before if you want over the next minute or so, is let's look at the benefits of the way this program is going to work. What's it going to do to help those prospective CSTs out there to get themselves prepared? So I've got a minute before the break. If you want to start with that, we can do that. Or if there's something else you wanted to add from our prior conversation.
Well, in the time that we have before the break, one of the biggest things that I see, one of the biggest benefits, is for somebody that has been working in the profession for a number of years, they're not CST certified, but they want to go ahead and get certified, but they don't know what level should I begin. Let's say I have 3.5, 4 years of experience working for a surveyor. Do I want to go into level 3? Or do I want to start maybe at level 2 and level 1 and test the waters? The website is an excellent way to test the waters to see where you're at on your level of competency.
That's a really good point. And we can pick up on that when we come back and talk more in depth about that, as well as the other benefits that derive from using the website process. So let's go to that break and we'll be right back.
Listen to America's Voice for Energy. I'm Marita Noon, and each week I'll guide our discussion on a fresh, news-based energy topic, only on America's Web Radio.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
As our regular listeners know, this is the time of the show when I ask our guest a question, and the first person to reply to Quick Stakes Contest at americaswebradio.com is the winner of our sponsor, Parker Davis Quick Stakes gift or prize for the day. So I'm going to ask this question, and Alan, you can answer it, and then that's going to lead to a little bit further discussion about the name. So the question is, what does CST stand for?
I can go ahead and answer, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Certified Survey Technician.
So Certified Survey Technician is the response we're looking for today in the contest. And having said that, Alan, we were having a bit of a discussion during the break there about the different things that means to people when they look for it on the Internet. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit. And I don't know what's our best tactic to get ourselves closer to the top of the list of things that are shown.
Oh, no, indeed. The first time I heard it years ago, you know, I was also familiar with a long-term industry president, Chicago Steel Tape, that many surveyors are probably surely familiar with. They've since been acquired a couple times by much larger entities. But CST, if you Google it, is just a variety of different California-related organizations or training entities pop up. A couple law enforcement-related things seem to be high up there on the list. But, of course, in our regard, yeah, Certified Survey Technician, you know, it's having been around since 1988, you think we'd get a little better play, but these are just larger, there are larger entities out there that share the same name. We encounter the same thing with ACSM. I've seen over the years the American College of Sports Medicine, you know, another ACSM out there that shares the same acronym. So.
Yeah, I Googled NSPS one time a long time ago, and it came up with some crazy rock band or something.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing that happens on the Internet, so you have to be kind of specific in what you're looking for, I guess. But and speaking of the Internet, maybe we could talk during this segment about what those benefits are that are derived from this program and the URL and all that.
Sure. If I could, go ahead and give you the URL. It's pretty easy to remember, and you can bookmark it. It's www.learncst.com, and that'll take you to the front page of the website, and I've got some explanatory language there about how to enroll. It's self-enrollment, and we've had a number of enrollees since the website URL appeared in last week's news and views, and hopefully as more and more individuals become aware of this, that we'll see a steady increase in the enrollment. So the enrollment has already started. Level one is there, and we can get into some of the specifics of that in a moment, but let me go back to benefits for just a moment. And I had mentioned that a technician may not know what level they want to go in at. And this would allow them, once levels 2 and 3 are brought online, to basically get enrolled into various levels and test their current knowledge base against the materials that are on the website, and then they could make a more appropriate decision about where they're at in their competency level. But the biggest benefit to this, like all e-learning and online courses, is accessibility. And that really is an important factor, because obviously you have to have a computer and you have to have an internet connection. But as far as when you study, how you study, it's left up to you. So if you're working within the industry currently, there may not be an opportunity during the course of the day with your employer to be able to focus or concentrate on mastering some of the materials that are involved. But anybody who can spare an hour or two a day or a week, a couple hours a week, can go to the site and work at improving your skills at your own convenience. So the concept is that it's asynchronous in nature, meaning that it's up to you when you want to visit the site. And going back to that for just a moment about mentoring, obviously, ideally, the way the surveying industry is structured, that you have a basic license holder or a party chief that is training and bringing along the personnel of your organization as you go forward. But some companies don't have the luxury of being able to spend a lot of time in developing their personnel, even though they may recognize the importance of doing so. So I'm hoping that this CST site will help level that playing field a bit and allow everyone the opportunity to seek advancement in their training and be able, even in using it in conjunction with what they're learning on the job. Or if you're not currently employed in the industry, it'll allow you to get that leg up that will help you secure a position within a firm. So I see that as also an important component. And then, you know, there are practice quizzes as part of each work element at CST Level 1. And these practice quizzes may help prepare you for the actual CST exam, which, even though it's offered paper-based, it's also offered on the computer-based testing, very much like the Fundamentals of Surveying exam is now offered through NCWS. So this will help you get acclimated to an online testing environment, and I think that's a good component to this as well. And in this way, when you actually sit down and take the CST exam, it won't come as a surprise to you, the kind of questions or, you know, the time limits that are imposed. For instance, the CST Level 1 is 200 questions. The actual exam itself is 200 questions. And you are given a four-hour time limit. Now, we don't have the quizzes timed, although that is something in the future that might be considered, is to have a final overall exam at the end of each CST training module that is timed. And we have that capability within the framework that we're offering, the venue that this is being offered, where we can actually say that you must complete this within a two-hour time frame or a four-hour time frame and have actually 200 questions. As it is right now, though, there is simply a quiz between 10 and 15 questions at each of learning module within the CST level. So, and finally, I should say that hopefully we, and I mentioned that it's asynchronous in nature, but we can also make it synchronous in nature, meaning that there are time periods where we may be able to have sort of like online office hours, where I would be online and able to, anyone who is online at that point in time, we can open up a chat window and we can actually discuss some of the questions that are being asked or some of the materials that some of our students may not be comfortable with. And so there is a lot of possibilities going forward here. It's important, I think, to try to create a learning community online, and that's the student doesn't feel that they are by themselves and alone out in the wilderness, so to speak. So there are many options that we can explore going forward that I think will enhance the educational opportunities for anyone who participates.
So, Alan, if I were to go to the URL, how do the mechanics work?
It's like Glenn mentioned, it's a standard registration process. Currently, we at least with the launch, there was some discussion as to how to offer this over time, of course, and eventually it will be a paid offering. We have a cap, a quite high cap, but we have a cap as to the number of students we can register, or we can at least have active at any given time, and that's, I mean, again, a very high cap to keep from overwhelming servers. You'd be surprised how much the load that several thousand students puts on a server, accessing all sorts of pages, videos, etc., you know, a variety of servers. But it's something that, you know, as we launch, we're offering no charge, and folks can just, like Glenn mentioned, enroll and get an idea of you know, now all that's active is level one, but you know, you'd log in and engage with the site at your leisure, at your own speed. So
one could I guess practice, if that's the right word, on how to utilize the system.
Sure.
And then this becomes the framework for the future. As a matter of fact, when we get back from the break, I want to talk to you about the future and where this is going and how it may impact our entire mechanism in terms of looking at least some levels of education and surveying, because you both pointed out so appropriately that surveying careers are not just those among those who hold licenses. In a lot of the work we do, a lot of people now are saying they can go out with one GPS unit and do all the work on their own, but I'd say in the majority of the cases that's not true. So this is a really good opportunity, I think, to expand the educational base, because it seems to me, and maybe I'm incorrect because I haven't been on the field side or the instructional side too much in the near past, but it seems to me that those opportunities for mentoring may not be there in the field as much as they used to be, and I may be incorrect about that. It just seems like with the speed of everything we do these days and the way we gather data and what have you, maybe those opportunities aren't there nearly as much.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all know how technology has impacted our profession. But, you know, that also creates a greater demand for a higher skill base in the application. In school, I referred to the term as buttonology, where you press the buttons. And we've all heard this analogy before. But you have to understand what's happening behind the scenes, so to speak. And as you mentioned,
we're going to have to go to our last break. So
okay, go ahead.
Let's come back and pick up on that when we come back from the break, because I think that's a really important point to bring up. So let's do our final break.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Back for our final segment today with Glenn Thoreau and Alan Cheese. Before we went to the break, Glenn, you were beginning to say something, and I interrupted. So just, if you would follow up on that, and then we can talk about future.
Sure. And again, we were just discussing the impact of technology and whether technology is eliminating the possibility of mentorship or whether it's reducing the amount of crew members that are needed. Certainly there is an effect of technology, but that doesn't mean that your need for qualified, skilled technicians is going to disappear because of technological changes. I would advocate that what you're going to have are individuals that are more conversant with technology and the way it is shaping our industry. And as opposed to simply somebody that's going out into the field and pushing buttons and coming back, you're going to need somebody that understands what's happening behind the scenes. Technology is a wonderful thing if it's working correctly, and you've got to know when it's not working correctly or giving you results that should be suspect. So I still feel that even with the advancements in technology and somebody that says, well, you know, I've got a robotic total station and so I don't need as many, I don't need anyone else. Well, try setting up a $45,000 robotic total station at the back of curb someplace on a street and walking away from it. I mean, that's not going to happen. So I feel that the changes in technology are actually going to open up broader possibilities for people who can become conversant with the technology, and that will be, again, a very important skill factor and the knowledge behind it. I mean, if we look at the way the surveying education is basically breaking down in between skill-based or experience and knowledge-based or theory, I believe that we're going to be able to hit a happy medium between the two and that they're not mutually exclusive. Talking about some of the future possibilities, and I did want to touch on that before we run out of time. Of course, levels 2 and 3 will be eventually brought online. I don't have a time frame right yet. I can tell you that we're currently working on level 2. The difference in levels 2 and 3, of course, there are different tracks you can take as part of the CST program. One of those tracks for level 2 is either an office track or a field track, and then in level 3, the field track is further delineated between party chief and boundary and party chief construction. Now, right now, there is no delineation in the training, but that is something that could be considered in the future to be a little bit more specific as to the types of materials that are being offered. And then there was also talk about a CST preparation manual, which might be helpful. And this would be something that's online that, in addition to the materials that the CST program itself provides, such as the sample exams and the program book, we're not out to write another textbook. I mean, there's many fine textbooks on the market right now. But this might be something that's specifically geared towards that CST technician that wants to master their skills at a higher level. Then finally, the other possibility for future would be actual webinars that we host in addition to the e-learning site, the URL, that we might have a specific webinar that you'd be able to register for that we'll talk about some of the specific materials that are covered in all three levels. So I think as far as what the future holds, it's just a question of how creative and innovative we want to be with this. And I think there are some exciting possibilities in that regard.
It was two goals, at least, when we started. Recognition of CST, of the program, both angles, employee, employer. That was one goal, and that we accomplished and addressed that via the promotion in the magazine and through the websites and newsletters and social media. But on the other side, everything Glenn just mentioned, the development, what we consider the engagement angle, that's what excites us most with this, is opening our, I don't want to say content archive, but both our content archive, the magazines, the publications content archive, all that expertise, and most importantly, the experts, the ability to engage or offer our experts to readers, to folks that are looking to learn. Kurt, it's all about mentoring, and we're living with the publications at that intersection of past and future. Technology-wise, you know, we're constantly dealing in the theoretical articles come in, especially with some of the newer publications, LIDAR magazine, just cutting-edge stuff. And it's something that instead of running off and attempting to build some sort of course for the new, we felt we could address this through what was existing through CSD, which we feel was visionary from day one. It just has to evolve, and we're doing our best to support that.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point about the mentoring. I don't think I know a surveyor anywhere who doesn't often speak fondly of the person or persons to whom they looked as their mentors. And it's such a critical part of our profession, whether or not we're working on the technician side or whether we're working in the licensure side or on you know, the track to licensure, you know, once you get the FS exams and what have you. And speaking of which, do you see any implications at all of what we're doing with regard to the whole thing about FS? Because as we hear all the time, the numbers are falling.
They are, and there are a number of reasons, I feel, for that, which are probably it's a topic for another program. But with the numbers falling, I feel there is an implication of what we're doing here and how that might help bolster the number of FS examinees in the future. I'd like to think of it as sort of like priming the pump, so to speak. If we can get individuals involved and progressing in the CST level, obviously that they can see that they can continue in that professional career if they so desire. In sitting for the FS exam where it is allowed. Now, more and more states obviously are moving towards the four-year degree component, and I support that wholeheartedly. But the question is, well, you support the four-year degree, but your numbers are falling. I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but I believe the first two cycles of the computer-based testing at NCEES, which would have been January, February, March was off, April, May, I believe they had about 425 individuals nationwide sitting for the SF exam. And so that's sort of like the canary in the coal mine to me, and it, as it is to others. And the question is, well, what do we do to, well, we need to analyze the reasons why, but then what can we do to effectuate some change in this falling number? I believe that this may help by getting more and more prospective FS candidates into the pipeline, starting with CST and then progressing forward. So I do believe that there'll be some implications for the FS exam from the CST work that we're going to do here.
Speaking of those examination qualifications, an interesting thing happened at the most recent NCES board meeting where they actually took a vote. You may recall it some time back, there was a what they call the BS plus 30, where they increased the number of hours that one would need to sit for the engineering exam. This is, of course, on the other side of things, engineering. But at this last meeting, I don't remember if they passed the motion, but I know they brought up a motion to rescind that, to go back to just the BS. And I think it had something to do with those examination numbers. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's right.
Well, you know, it if I remember the correctly, the motion itself was it dealt with the model law engineer. And what was a model law engineer? It was somebody that had an actual master's degree and or a BA plus 30. So I think what they're doing is pulling that out of the model law requirement and sending it to a task force to develop a policy. And, you know, I would be the first to tell you that there's a symbiotic relationship between surveying and engineering, but I always view them as two separate and distinct occupations because of the advancements in technology and what today's surveyor needs to know, which is, I feel, quite different from what the engineer is focusing on in their curriculum. So, and that's probably a third show that that we would have to talk about. But
well, this is all really good news to me because the more shows you guys come up with, the fewer guests I have to search for. So that's a good thing. I know we've got a couple of minutes left before we have to break, so I didn't know if you guys want to make any closing statement. I do want to thank you both for being with me today, though. It's been fantastic to have you and to roll out this new program. And maybe a good thing to do is make sure everybody hears that URL again.
Sure. It is www.learncst.com. And in just concluding, you know, this is a work in progress. And we've got the original, we've got the level one online now, but it's going to be refined. We just wanted to get something going here. And as we go forward, I can see refinements being made, and again, looking in, towards the future, much more that can be done in this area. So I would encourage everyone, whether you're licensed right now or not, if you've got people in your organization that might benefit, log on, create an account, take a look at it, and my email is there. Send me comments about what's good, what's bad, and we can build off of that. So don't look at this in terms of, well, this is it, and that's the end of it. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, and Alan, I want to thank you guys for all you're doing to help facilitate this. It's a really important project, and so you're a really vital part of it, and I want to thank you guys for that.
Hey, glad to do it. We appreciate the opportunity, likewise. Sure.
So we will look forward to at least two more shows, it seems, as we're moving forward. So, again, thank you both for being with me today. It's been a great show, and I know very informative for our audience, and we'll look forward to hearing more as we go down the road.
Thank you for the opportunity, Kurt.
Thank you both again.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.